Rise and shine, everybody. You are listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Central Vermont Community Radio at 91.1 FM and 91.7 FM on your dial. And this is Amy's Kids Show, and I am so excited that you guys are here again this week on another Saturday to play and have fun. And we do have the Cosmic Cats back in the studio again today. They did stick around for another week. They really want to hear today's cat story. So can you hear them? They're here in the background. Okay, guys, hold on. We'll get to it. Hold on. I have an important announcement first, though. Let me tell you that community support for Amy's Kids Show is provided in part by Woodbury Mountain Toys, featuring a selection of toys and games for kids of all ages. Located at 24 State Street in Montpelier, Vermont, more information about Woodbury Mountain Toys can be found at woodburymountaintoys.com. Come in and play with us. Well, come on in and play with us, guys. We are ready to play in the station today. The Cosmic Cats are here. I'm here. And a lot of snow is here, too, in central Vermont today. On this Saturday in the beginning of February 2022, we have gotten dumped on. And the Cosmic Cats and I were outside playing in the snow yesterday. And, boy, we got tuckered out, didn't we, guys? I was busy shoveling paths so that they could have a place to run back and forth and play. You know, the cats have a hard time with deep snow, but boy, if you make a path for them, they will take full advantage of that runway, especially when they have cabin fever like we all do this time of year. Does anybody out there have cabin fever? Are you getting a little cooped up in your house, right? A little cooped up with the wintertime? So that tends to happen to folks up here in the North Country, but that's okay because it's a great time of year to travel through stories. So today we're going to do a little traveling. We're actually going to get on a ship and travel across the ocean and meet some new people and do some trading with them. And when we trade things, right, it's kind of nice if we can make a fair trade. If we can, you know, trade things, I've got things that you don't have, you've got things that I don't have, and wouldn't it be cool if we could trade, right? So that we both have awesome stuff and we can share in that way, and it's a lot of fun, and humans love to trade. And so these humans, I know, guys, oh, kitties do too? Well, that's good to know. So see, the Cosmic Cats are here trading with us right now. They're trading their ideas and their curiosity and their questions and... I know. Well, why don't you just curl up and take a rest? We're going to listen to some stories here today, guys. I know, and try to rest from all the shoveling and playing we did in the snow yesterday. Thanks for joining me. Let's get started.
Of the planet Earth, a drawing of a man and a woman, sounds of whales, wind, rain, elephants, avalanches, birds, fires, crickets, wild dogs herding sheep, ships, trains, frogs, volcanoes, mothers, children, a kiss, and music. 27 pieces of the best music from all over the world. All kinds of music. Drummers from Senegal, pan pipes from Peru. Music by Stravinsky, Louis Armstrong, Chuck Berry, Blind Willie Johnson, Mozart, Beethoven and three pieces by Johann Sebastian Bach. Voyager is still in space with the stars, but down here on Earth, a little girl practices the piano.
Okay, I've done it.
No, you haven't.
I did so. I played it twice.
Playing it twice isn't practicing.
But everybody else is outside and having fun and...
I don't care what everybody else is doing.
But, Mom, it's a nice...
You wanted to learn the piano.
I know, but I...
So no more arguments.
Yeah. Not bad, but... It's too... You have to be more smooth, Elizabeth. More relaxed. So, relax your shoulders and...
Who are you?
I just love that piece.
Are you a burglar?
Such a pretty tune.
A burglar, a crook, you know, someone who breaks into your house and steals stuff. A jailbird.
So?
So you were.
What?
Not what, were.
Where?
In jail.
Who told you?
You were!
So what? Worse could happen. So, relax, miss the fingers and the shoulders.
Why did they put you in jail?
For not practicing. Now, try it again. Here, I show you. Now, you see? Oh, what a beautiful instrument.
It's just an old piano.
Yeah, for you old, but for me, young and beautiful, just beautiful. I never played on one of these before.
Hey, you want to steal it?
I never said I wanted to steal it. I just said I never played on one of these before.
What if I gave it to you?
I don't want to own it. I just like the sound it makes. You see, we didn't have pianos in my day.
Really?
Yeah, lots we didn't have in my day. No zippers, no noodle soup in a can, no TV, no bicycles, no dolls that say, "Hi, my name is Debbie and I'm your friend." Anyhow, I was thinking... I wrote a little piece once that might sound good on a piano. Would you mind if I...
Sure.
All right, here goes.
Get your arms out wide, wider, wider, and a wee little mouse. Bring your fingers in real close in front of your nose. Ran around and around. Move your arms round and round real fast. In a high, high house. Point your fingers for the roof above your head. Are you in your house? But that wee little mouse got caught at last. 'Cause that great big cat ran around so fast. Good. Try it with me now. There was a great big cat and a wee little mouse ran around and around in a high, high house. But that wee little mouse got caught. caught at last. 'Cause that great big cat ran around so fast.
Well, folks, welcome back. We are celebrating, yes, we are celebrating cosmic cats and earth cats. And we learned last week that cats and rats and mice are mortal enemies, that cats like to chase rats and mice. And that is true. That is definitely a true statement for most cats anyway. And our story today, I know, guys, we're going to be celebrating. We are. We're going to celebrate that very fact about cats and their wonderful ability to chase after mice and rats and take care of them for us humans. That's one of the reasons why we get along so great with cats. And so there are lots of reasons why we'd want to spread cat love around the planet. And that's one thing humans have been doing for a very long time, is spreading cat love and spreading cats around the world. And also trading with people, other people trading cats for things and things for cats and all kinds of good stuff. That's how we come up with all the great things we have. And trading ideas, of course, is another thing. And so last week, we started talking about some cat superstitions. And our cosmic cats were very curious about all of these superstitions, these ideas that people around the planet have come up with. So let's see what you think of these cat superstitions, okay? And a lot of them have to do with weather, which is very much on our minds up here in Vermont today. So let's see. According to a Japanese superstition, a grooming cat means unexpected visitors are coming. So if your cat is cleaning itself, maybe it means that someone's coming to visit, especially if they wash their face and their whiskers, apparently. So keep an eye on that. If your cat starts washing their face and whiskers, maybe someone's coming to visit. Another superstition is that wet cats can make it rain. If a cat is wet, it can make it rain. Now, you might suspect, I know, guys, isn't that an interesting one? How would a wet cat make it rain? Well, here is how, okay? They actually explain it. It says, you might suspect there's some cause and effect confusion going on here, but in parts of Indonesia, cats are associated with the weather. If people wanted it to rain, get this, guys, get this, they'd pour water over a cat. Presumably, the cat in question then made it rain as revenge. Well, maybe that makes sense. The cat is angry that it's wet, so it makes it rain, so everybody's wet now. I just thought that was funny. Many cat superstitions involve the weather. I know. It is said if the family cat lies with its back to the fire, a huge storm is on its way. And guess what? That's what my cat was doing the other day. Isn't that interesting? Just before this big storm. And if a cat sits with its tail facing the fire, it means a change in weather is coming. And I did not see my cat doing that last night. So I think we can expect more of the same. And here's another one. Having a cat in a theater is good luck. So here's a song about that. A lion in a theater. Let's see if you can tell if the lion's big debut was good luck or not. Thanks for joining me. We'll be back for more superstitions.
He plucks it for a lark. Kazoo's a kangaroo. Flamingos on the flute. A ukulele koala. And lemmings on the lute. It's the lion's big debut. He's pulling out his mane. The lemmings on the lute are playing leapfrogging. Chimpanzee on timpani, a zebra xylophone. Camel kicks the kettle drum, tiger slides off his trombone. Yak attacks the sax, first violin's a moan. Porcupine and a bagpipes puncture them with holes. It's a lion's big debut, he's blue as blue can be. Zebra wears a keyboard and the kangaroo's off key. A bobcat on the banjo, hair slapping a snare drum. The washboard has a wallaby, oh the oboe's opossum. French hen on English horn, Celesta played by skunk. Panda ate his bamboo flute and the elephant blasts his trunk. It's the lion's big debut, he's biting at his toes. Cause the seal is barking with cymbals on his nose. Whooping crane on clarinet, armadillo accordion, pelican plays the piccolo, monkeys on the mandolin, baboon on bassoon, hyena harpsichord, and a sloth played the spoons. Spoons? He just hung around and snored. It's the lion's big debut, he's just a little pale. The beaver on the upright bass goes wacky with his tail. Gorilla bangs the gong, dobro's a wolverine. Tambourine has a tree frog, tromping like a trampoline. Chipmunks on the chimes, rattlesnake on castanets. Turtle plays the tuba, but he hasn't showed up yet. It's the lion's big debut, and he's fainted on the floor. The rattlesnake's in the audience, and the audience went out the door. And there's silence, but for one tingling triangle. All the players have left the house, and the lion finishes the piece with an intrepid little mouse.
So I have a couple of more cat superstitions to tell you. Let's see if you believe them more with this great music in the background. I love this. This is called the tiger rag in the background here. So let's see if you believe these superstitions. How about this one? If cats are playing in the house in an unusually lively way, then windy or stormy weather is approaching. I think my cat was playing very lively, actually, the other day. So maybe that's true. I don't know. And cats have 9 lives. Now, whether this statement is recognized as a superstition or a myth, it's definitely an interesting thought. But where did this saying originate? Many believe that it's due to a cat's uncanny ability to make impossible leaps and jumps, survive long falls, etc. Cats are extremely agile and can definitely give off the impression of superhero powers. That's true.
Mr. Snakey was going to read a book. He got so excited that his tail just shook. Every book upon the shelf was like an open door. Once he got through one great book, he couldn't wait for more.
Once upon a time he read there was a curious cat who ate some rotten tofu, and then he went kersplat. Mr. Stinky said, "Ew!" But then he realized the curious cat would be okay, cause he had eight more lives. Oh, Mr. Stinky was going to read a book. He got so excited that his tail just shook. Every book upon the shelf was like an open door. Once he got through one great book, he couldn't wait for more.
He slithered down the aisle to where the cookbooks were. He found a certain recipe, and his scale stood up like fur. The recipe before him was snake upon a stick. He slammed the book shut with his tail, feeling rather sick. Oh, Mr. Snakey was going to read a book. He got so excited that his tail just shook. Every book upon the shelf was like an open door. Once he got through one great book, he couldn't wait for more.
By this time, Mr. Snakey was ready to take a break. He checked out one good movie and then a book on tape. Knew that at the library there was so much to learn, and by this time tomorrow he was sure he would return.
Oh, Mr. Snakey was going to read a book. He got so excited that his tail just shook. Every book upon the shelf was like an open door. Once he got through one great book, he couldn't wait for more. He
couldn't wait for more. I'd like for you to listen to this sailor chant, girls and boys. A sailor went to sea, 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 to see what he could see, sea, sea. And all that he could see, sea, sea, was down in the bottom of the sea, sea, sea. Now this time, I want you to take all the sea, seas. And I would like you two girls to do the hand clapping for us. All right. A sailor went to
sea,
to see what he could
see,
and all that he could
see,
was down in the bottom of the
sea.
All right, that's good. Now, this time I'm going to say it by myself again, but I'm going to substitute the word she. A sailor went to sea, to see what she could see, and all that she could see, was down in the bottom of the sea. All right, now you take the CCC part again. A sailor went to
CCC
to see what she could
CCC,
and all that she could
CCC
was down in the bottom of a
CCC.
All right, now for the last verse, the rest of us will slap our thighs three times, so it'll be: some sailors went to slap, slap, slap to see what they could, and all that they could was down in the bottom of the... What? Let's do it again. A sailor went to see what he could, and all that he could was down in the bottom of the...
Fiorina, do you think Venice floats on the water? They drive in those posts and then build the palaces on top.
So Venice is on stilts, like a clown.
The most elegant clown in the world, if you please.
Listen, that's a goldfinch, isn't it?
I guess so.
Shh. And a nightingale. Giovanni, every balcony has a birdcage. It's like being in a forest. What a shame to lock them up.
You managed to escape. Don't worry. They'll all be set free at midnight when carnival ends.
I hope it never ends.
Well, folks, welcome back. We've been listening to some Get Up and Move music, some cat name music, and some spring celebration music. And now it's time for our story. That's why we traveled off to Venice. And our story is about cats. Cats and the importance of cats and the importance of appreciation and gratitude, I suppose. So this story comes from Italy. It comes from Venice, but we are going to travel the world a bit too. So that's going to be fun. Let me get the music turned down here a bit. And we'll get started. This is a folk tale. The Priceless Cats. Among the ancient Romans, there was a proverb that those who are greedy never have enough. And since the Romans were Italians, the proverb still holds true. In the Golden City of Venice, they tell a tale that proves this time-old saying. There lived in that city by the sea two merchants who were neighbors. Both were rich. Both had grand palaces on the green, shimmering canal, with proud gondolas tied to cinnabar and yellow-striped poles. And both had lovely children who were friendly and played with one another. As for the merchants, one was as different from the other as a black pebble from a shining ruby. One was hard and sharp and greedy, wanting whatever he saw, whether he needed it or not, while the other was generous and good, working to help not only himself but others as well. The two merchants knew each other and spoke to each other, but when it came to business, Mr. Greedy Wolf was wary and watchful, not trusting anyone, not even himself. So time went by, with these two buying and selling, working and growing. Came a day when Giovanni, the good merchant, set out on a far journey to trade for spices, which were much sought after in Europe then. He loaded his vessels with toys and corals and silks and beautiful glassware to exchange for pepper and cinnamon and vanilla and curries and other scented spices that grew on the islands far away. He sailed for days and weeks and then came to the rich East, where he traded from island to island with benefit to himself and satisfaction to the islanders. One sparkling morning, he came to a harbor that was as still as a graveyard, with masts hanging like tombstones. The streets and the markets were quiet as the night. The merchant and some of his men walked about, disturbed by their own footsteps. Where were the hustling and bustling townspeople dressed in colorful clothes? Where were the smells of spices and the cries of vendors that usually filled the air of a busy city? Finally, the traders from Venice met two men who took them before the king. The ruler sat on his throne with a sorrowful face and head bowed low. Courtiers stood around, no different from the king. "Can we trade with your people, your majesty?" the Venetian merchant said. "We have rich goods from our land that we would gladly exchange for spices." "Master merchant," said the ruler, "our spices are ravaged, our grain is destroyed, our food is ruined. It is a wonder that we are alive because of this terrible plague that has come over our land. Everything is slowly being destroyed, even our clothes." "And what is this terrible plague that has brought your land such unhappiness, your majesty?" "Gnawing rats and scuttling mice. They are in our homes and clothes and in our fields and roads. We have to set traps for them, and we have strewn poison in the pantries, but that has done more harm to our animals than to the pests. There seems to be no remedy for this curse." "Have you no cats?" the merchant asked. "Cats? What are cats?" "Why, cats are furry little animals, like small dogs, and they are mortal enemies of mice and rats, destroying them whenever they find them." "Where can I find these cats?" the king cried. "I'll pay anything for them." "Your majesty," Don Giovanni said, "you do not have to pay for cats. We have many of them on our ship, and I will gladly give you a present of some. I am certain your pests will be soon gone." The king thanked the merchant, almost with tears in his eyes, and within an hour, the merchant brought back two fine cats, one a black tom as fierce as he was big, and the other, a lovely tiger-striped lady cat, who was famous for having many kittens and catching even more mice. The king and the islanders looked with awe and wonder at the two animals, for they had never seen cats before, and when they saw them set to work at once on the mice and the rats, they were so overjoyed that they wanted to sing and dance. The king was grateful from the bottom of his heart and wanted to prove this to the merchant. So he showered him and his crew with bales of spices and gleaming jewels, with sweet-smelling sandalwood and carved ivory, beautiful as a song. When the merchant and his crew sailed home, they were so happy and contented that even the wind and the waves knew it and led their vessel swiftly back to Venice. And the joy Don Giovanni's family was great when he reached home, and great was the excitement of his fellow merchants of Venice when they saw his royal cargo. Don Giovanni met Don Cesare, his neighbor, before the Golden Church of San Marco, that treasury of beauty in the world. They spoke of this and that, about the journey and the trading, and then Don Giovanni told Don Cesare how he had traded the richest merchandise of all for just a pair of common cats. Don Cesare's tongue nearly hung out with greed and envy when they parted. Thereafter, day and night, Don Cesare could think of only how Don Giovanni had gained a treasure by giving away two worthless cats that any Venetian would pay to get rid of. He had no peace, and he was more restless than a horse with a thorn in his side. Green jealousy and greed ate into him like fire in dry grass until he could stand it no longer. He had to go to that island and bring back as big, if not bigger, treasure than had Don Giovanni. He fitted out a splendid ship filled with the best of goods, golden vessels, brocades, carved corals. With such gifts, the generous king should give him twice, no, three times as many riches as he had given Don Giovanni. And if you'll hold on 1 second, I need to just pull up some more music here. All right. Soon, Don Cesare reached the island. He told the king he was a friend of Don Giovanni. The king received him with open arms, only too happy to welcome a friend of the man who, by his generous gift, had rid the island of the terrible pests. Don Cesare told the king he, too, had brought him gifts, gifts much more valuable than those of Don Giovanni. Then he presented his gifts of golden cups and carved corals, rich brocades and gilded embroideries, the richest Venice could show, to prove his friendship. Truly, the emperor was overwhelmed by the show of his unselfish generosity. He was simple and an honest man, and appreciative as well, and he thought hard how he could repay the friendship shown by Don Cesare. Try as he would, he could think of nothing rich enough and fine enough. In the end, he called together his counselors to decide what to give Don Cesare in return for the lavish presents, which, the king thought, Don Cesare had given out of the kindness of his heart. Each elder had his say. In the end, one rich in wisdom arose and said, "O king, this man from Venice has given to you and to us things that will be a joy to look at for years to come. Truly, we in our little island have no gifts to equal his. We could give him spices and perfumes and woods, but these are simple things growing freely in our land. They come and go every year, but there is one thing we possess now that is of great value in this world. Not so long ago, we were cursed with a pest that nearly destroyed us. The rats and mice overran our land, starved our children, and covered our homes with filth. Then we received a priceless gift that made us once again a free and happy people. Since that time, those precious cat animals have increased in number, and we can well afford to give some of them away, precious as they are to us. I would therefore say to give to Don Cesare, that most unselfish Venetian, two of these invaluable cats. I am sure they will bring him as great a blessing as they have brought to us." King and counselors thought this splendid and wise suggestion. A cage of solid gold was made, and the king himself chose as a proper gift the two prettiest and most playful kittens that could be found. Then the king set a day for the great royal audience to present the merchant with his reward. All the counselors came, and as many people as the room could hold, and then the merchant appeared before the king. He came with light steps and greedy thoughts, thinking of the riches he would reap now, riches that would surely be greater than those Don Giovanni had received. There were blowing of trumpets and beating of drums, and many felderal speeches of friendship on the part of the merchant. In the end, the royal master said, "Don Cesare, you came to our land and gave me kindly gifts freely from the goodness of your heart. That is a fine thing for a man to do. And as the saying goes, from seeds of goodness grow rich purple plums of goodness. I and my counselors thought for a long time how to reward you properly for such unselfish generosity. And finally, we decided on the most valuable gift we have. When my people and my land were in their greatest distress, a countryman of yours saved us by giving us a gift. It was a gift more precious than gold or diamonds or spices. We have been unable to think of anything more wonderful than the same gift for you. We know it will bring you the same joy and peace it has brought to us. Soldiers, bring the golden cage with the royal gift for Don Cesare." Then two soldiers came in with the golden cage in which the two little kittens were playing in a way that was a joy to behold. The soldiers stopped with the cage before the merchant. The king smiled happily, as did the courtiers and the people. The merchant looked at the kittens, but he could not say a word. And when he saw everyone beaming and smiling at him, he had to smile too, a smile that stretched from ear to ear. Soon after, he sailed homeward. Shall I tell you how he felt? Well, I will. The first few days, he was full of fury and hatred, and not a man could speak to him. And then, little by little, he began to see how fate had played a joke on him, and that he could not change with all his riches and all his power. And slowly, like the trickle of a single crystal drop of water, he began to think that perhaps jealousy and greed were the wrong seeds for the flowers he wanted in life. He never said a word to anyone in Venice about what had happened, but it was noticed that he acted more kindly toward people, and that he no longer raced so wildly after gold and riches as he had done before. The end. All right, so we're going to go celebrate the world and some other wonderful things. Thanks for joining me.
There was an old man, old man, old man. There was an old man who had grown so old. He walked around limping, limping, limping. He walked around limping with his crooked leg. There was a young man, young boy, young boy. There was a young boy, too naughty for words. He laughed at the old man, old man, old man. He laughed at the old man till he turned into a cat.
Have you ever noticed how very different each one of us is in the way we look, the way we talk, walk, laugh, and sing? These differences are the things that make each and every one of us so special. Well, some people don't realize that. Once there was a young boy who lived with his mother and father in a small town. The boy was very, very naughty. Naughtier than anyone you've ever seen. If he saw someone with cross eyes or a very short upper lip, he would laugh at them. He would laugh until the other person got embarrassed or angry or so upset that they burst out crying. One day, he saw a girl with only two fingers on one hand. The boy laughed so much that he could not even eat his supper that night. His parents told him over and over that it was not right to laugh at other people just because they are different. They told him that everyone is special and beautiful in their own way. Do you think the naughty, naughty boy listened to them? No, he continued laughing at other people. Till one afternoon, he was walking with his mother to the train station when he saw an old man with one short, crooked leg. The old man carried a bag and he was rushing for the train. The boy thought he looked very funny as he tried to run to catch the train. The boy laughed and laughed. He rolled on the platform, holding his stomach, pointing at the old man, and he laughed some more. His mother was embarrassed. Other people at the station were shocked. Well, well, what do you know? Right there, in front of everybody, the boy turned into a cat. Yes, a big, fat, brown and ugly cat with five legs. And his eyes were a dirty green. His ears were long, and there were fingers growing at the top of them. He was a horrible-looking cat, and no one wanted anything to do with him. Embarrassed and sad, the big, fat, brown cat with five legs ran away. His dirty green eyes filled with tears, and the fingers at the end of his ears were waving goodbye. His mother was very sad. After some months, people say that his heart changed a lot. Eventually, he changed back into his old body and went home to his family. He became very nice to everyone, no matter how different they looked. If he saw a crooked old person carrying big bags trying to catch a bus, he went and offered to help them. When he saw other children fighting, he went and talked them into being friends again. But he was especially nice to funny-looking cats on the roadside.
The ego sings of castles. hills and kings and things that go with a life of style. Wanting to feel, to know what is real. Living is a lie. The porpoise is waiting. Goodbye, goodbye.
Kid with a sunshiny smile heard the roar of a plane as it sailed through the sky. To her playmates she cried with a bright twinkling eye, my daddy rides that ship in the sky. Now my daddy rides that ship in the sky. My daddy rides that ship in the sky. Mama's not afraid and neither am I. So my daddy rides that ship in the sky. Then a pug-nosed kid, as she kicked up her heel, said, my dad, he works in the iron and the steel. My dad makes planes so they fly through the sky, and that's what keeps your daddy up there so high. That's what keeps your daddy up there so high. That's what keeps your daddy up there so high. You're not afraid, well, neither am I, 'cause my dad keeps your daddy up there so high. Shy little girl pinched her toe in the sand, saying, my dad, he works at the place where they land. You tell your mama, don't be afraid, my dad'll bring your daddy back home again. My dad'll bring your daddy back home again. My dad'll bring your daddy back home again. Don't be afraid of the dark or the rain, 'cause my dad'll bring your daddy back home again. My daddy rides that ship in the sky. My daddy rides that ship in the sky. Mama's not afraid and neither am I. So my daddy rides that ship in the sky.
No one knows where we're going. No one knows where we've been. Strangers follow us, dangers fall on us. Life plays tricks and they're mean. Only one thing can save us. Only one thing will do. Stand up nice and straight, don't capitulate. Courage lives and it's you. Catch a tail by the tiger. Take the horns by the bull. A bird in need is a friend indeed. So pull the eyes over the wool. I think you got it backwards. Well, the saying is that you gotta catch a tiger by the tail. Sure, if you wanna do it the easy way. On the other hand, if you really want bravery, then you gotta catch a tail by the tiger. Take the horns by the bull. A bird in need is a friend indeed. Eyes over the wool. Steely gaze in the sunrise. Lonesome walk in the dawn. Sometimes lonely but living only for truth when truth may be gone. Danger
lurks at the crossroads. Shadows loom on the wall. Sounds behind us and hounds will find us and death and taxes and
station with the Cosmic Cats. And yes, guys, I know we've been dancing around the station. We've really had a good time today celebrating all kinds of cats. Cosmic Cats from outer space and some tigers in the theater, the Lion's Great Debut. And we also had a bunch of tigers here in the station just recently because the Cosmic Cats were so excited that they stuck around for another week and just happened to catch... I know. I'm excited too, guys, because we just started a new Chinese New Year while they were here. Yep, just last week we celebrated the Chinese New Year with the Cosmic Cats on Earth. And guess what we just started, guys? We just started Year of the Tiger. So The Cosmic Cats were pretty impressed with that because, you know, they go all around the whole universe and galaxy and as far as they can go. And they love to trade. They love trading ideas. They love trading things. And so this idea of Chinese New Year and the Chinese Zodiac, which we read about last year on Amy's Kids Show, it does explain why cats and rats and mice are mortal enemies, why the cat and the rat are mortal enemies, which actually came up in our story today. Because not only, boy, are we doing a lot of celebrating. We celebrated cats. We're celebrating tigers. We also have been celebrating spaceships in honor of our cosmic cats from outer space and rocket ships and airplanes and boats, which are ships that go across the sea, right? And that's one great way that we can trade things with other people, including trading cats, apparently, we learned today in our story. And it's really interesting because these cats have been really curious while they're here, learning about all the things that we humans think about cats, all of our crazy ideas about cats. You know, some of them make sense, some of them don't. But they really love our attitude of curiosity. Because, of course, you know, like our story taught us, that that we need to plant the seeds for the flowers that we want to grow in life. And so we want to plant seeds of curiosity. I know, guys, and they're reminding me right now, of course, we want to plant seeds of care and cooperation, too. Right, guys? Oh, absolutely. No matter where you live in the galaxy. Right. Care and cooperation are the things that help us get along, right? I know, I loved that story about the boy who turned into the cat. That was an interesting story, too. So we've been full of all kinds of great ideas and stories here today. And how do cats influence the weather? Or is it the weather influencing the cats? I'm not sure, but let's study our cats today and see which way they're licking their fur and how they're sitting by the fire and find out if some of those superstitions are true or not. What, you're going to bring some mice back to your planet? Oh, I think that's a good idea. All right, well, good luck with that. Thanks for joining me, guys. See you next week.
Everyone needs a place that they like to call home. Waltzes you back to your home. A long day at work, a long day at play. There's a place you feel safe at the end of the day. Home. There are places to go, people to see, adventures to travel, we know. A world full of wonder awaits you and me, but nothing quite calls me like in this world. It's just right for me. Home. There's a home that I live in where soup's on the stove. My keys, the right